presentation.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. You are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM or some of the corresponding frequencies throughout the FM dial. Or if you're listening at 10:30, you may be listening to WWBC 1510 AM. And I believe that also broadcasts on the FM dial somewhere in the 100.9 range, somewhere in there. I'm not really sure. It changes wherever you are in the counter. 100.7, I hear. So thank you for making us part of your day today. And we're going to be spending the next half hour together patiently talking about the Word of God, the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience. We want to start off by saying thank you to JITS Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. I was in a meeting recently, and there happened to be a missionary that serves in a foreign country not all that far away from America, and he had traveled up and down the state of Florida, and he was describing here, you know, 6 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks after Hurricane Irma came through, that there was still extensive damage that he was seeing as he was traveling up and down the peninsula of Florida. And that because other things have kicked in, there was the earthquake in Mexico, there was Hurricane Maria, and then Nate, and then the wildfires, all of those things have moved up the headlines. But he said there's still a lot of rebuilding that needs to be done throughout the state of Florida. And if you find yourself in that position here in Brevard County, I was in a meeting last week down in Palm Bay and saw a lot of shingles that were missing and roofs that were still damaged and trees that were no longer upright. They were blown in a certain direction. I've seen block walls that have been blown over. And if you find yourself in a position where you need block work or concrete work, I encourage you to give the folks at JITS Concrete a call, 321-536-5804. They have served in Brevard County for a long, long time, and they do excellent work. They've done excellent work around our place, and we encourage you to give them a call, and they will give you the guidance that you need, an estimate that is fair and reasonable. And in some cases, I've had people tell me that the quote that they got from the folks at JITS Concrete was less than it would have cost them to do the project themselves. And so if you have a need for some block or concrete work, give them a call, 321-536-5804. So today we are going to be in Luke, the 21st chapter. We're going to be talking about some end time events today, but we are also going to be focusing specifically, not on the timeline, but what does the end times mean for how we live now? How should we respond? How should we prepare ourselves? You know, if you knew that the hurricane was coming, you would make preparations before the storm got there. And Jesus gives us in Luke, the 21st chapter, some insight into some of the things that are coming and how we should prepare ourselves individually. So let me read to you in verse number 7. So they asked him, Luke 21, saying, "Teacher, but when will these things be, and what signs will there be when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "Take heed that you be not, or that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. Listen to this. By your patience, possess your souls. And so that's where we're going to get to. I want to lead up to that. Let me just repeat verse number 19. By your patience, possess your souls. So let me just tell you where we are as the Assemblies of God when it comes to end time events. We believe that there is going to be a rapture that takes place. You can look in the scriptures and you can see that every time there is judgment that is coming, that is God's judgment, that he makes a way of escape for God's people. He made a way of escape for Lot. He made a way of escape for Noah. He makes a way of escape for us. Listen, a parent doesn't discipline the children who have behaved well. He disciplines the child that needs correction. And so that's just where I am. I'm familiar with different viewpoints of end time events, mid-trib, post-trib, all of that other stuff. A friend of mine puts it this way, that he's a pan-tribulationist. He believes it's all going to work out in the end. I can tell you this, that there's not going to be a high-fiving going on. There's not going to be any boasting going on as to whichever party is right on the way up. I happen to believe that the imminent return of Christ is just that it is imminent, that it could happen at any given point in time. And so, therefore, we need to be ready. There are others who have different point of views, and I have had some discussions with them. They asked me what I thought of their view, and I said, you know what, telling people that that there is nothing to be concerned about, I find that to be a dangerous theology, because even if the Lord does not return soon, you could have a physical affliction arise that causes you to cross the threshold of eternity right now. I am not called to prepare myself for the tribulation. I am called to prepare myself for eternity. And it is in my best interest to be ready to cross that threshold and begin to enjoy the benefits of eternity right here now in the land of the living. So here a week or so ago, I preached on pursuing great wisdom. I have been doing a sermon series on pursuing greatness, not as the world says, but did you know that no matter what field you are operating in, God wants you to excel in that field? If you are a homemaker, he wants you to be the world's greatest homemaker. If you're a mom or a dad, he wants you to be the world's greatest. He wants you to pursue greatness in whatever community, whatever field of expertise, whatever he's called you to do. He wants you to pursue greatness in that through pursuing great wisdom. And so I encourage you, do not get stuck with the mindset of, oh, well, this is good enough. This is good enough. I've got more than enough sermons in the can that if I wanted to just coast on the way out, I could just pull out old sermons, but God still has a fresh word for today. So even though I've preached on the fruit of the Spirit before, this is all material that I'm bringing, because it is a fresh word from heaven. It is a progression that we are operating in here as we are working through the growing relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit in the book of Galatians. And right now we're talking about that when we are walking in the Spirit and we are being led by the Spirit and the Spirit is warring against the flesh, that He will make us fruitful and He will produce in us great patience. So Jesus gives some general advice. I want to talk about that general advice, and then we're going to finish with the verse number 19, by your patience possess your souls. First of all, it says, take heed that you not be deceived. It is very, very easy for people to put on a mask or put on an appearance and get by with something for a short period of time. Here, the onus of responsibility is not on society not to lie to us. The burden of responsibility lies upon us, where He says, don't be deceived. Be ready. Take heed. Be careful. Be attentive. Be watching. You see, if you just assume that everybody is lying to you from a worldly perspective, then it just kind of removes the uncertainty about it. And you say, okay, I'm going to make sure that what I'm hearing is true. You can't trust things that textbooks tell you anymore, because textbooks have been historically revised to reflect certain point of views. So don't be deceived. Don't let people lie to you. I am of the mindset that if a person lies to you, it's because they think that you're stupid. So I don't like it when people lie to me. That was never a misdemeanor in our household. If there's high crimes and misdemeanors, lying would have been a high crime. And there was a reason for that. And that's because the Word of God says that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Don't be a person who is easily deceived. And the second piece of advice He gives in verse number 9 is, do not be terrified when you are living in a world that is falling apart, as this is, when you hear of wars and commotions, nation rising against nation, earthquakes, famines, pestilences, fearful sights, and great signs from heaven. All of that would cause a human being to realize that there are things that are taking place that are beyond their control. Now, I want you to focus on that for just a moment, because we're going to come back to it. The devil wants you, when you realize that there are things that are beyond your control, to succumb to a spirit of fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Okay? Fear causes your heart to fail. Faith causes you to be emboldened and encouraged and take steps of faith. And so do not be terrified. Don't be deceived. Don't be terrified. And it says there are going to be some bad things that happen. There are going to be good people who are going to be thrown into prison. They are going to be persecuted. They are going to be brought on trial. And verse number 13 says, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for a testimony. I like that God has a way of taking what the devil intends for evil and turning it into something good. There are a number of examples from church history where people who were arrested, persecuted, and martyred for the faith, but their death did not result in what their persecutors thought it was going to result in. They thought that would instill fear into believers, and instead it emboldened them. Not only that, there were cases where people who took part in the persecution ended up giving their hearts to Jesus and becoming believers as well. You see, church history is filled with things that will bolster your faith. And I want to be a person that has a testimony. I want to be a person that does not just become a statistic and doesn't become a victim, but has a testimony of the grace and the glory of God as He intervenes on our behalf on a regular basis. He said, therefore, settle it in your hearts. not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. So let me just give you my take on that, as how we can apply that, and that is that we need to settle in our hearts, settle in ourselves before the persecution ever arises, before we ever have to give an account, that we are going to trust God for his provision, that he has wisdom for us, that the world is not going to be able to withstand. You and I, if we have that matter settled in our hearts beforehand, God's going to be able to speak through us in a powerful, powerful way. Is there anybody who's listening to the sound of my voice today? You want a testimony? Well, I've got news for you. The only way that you get a testimony is on the backside of a test. And it's not a testimony because you failed the test. It's a testimony because God gave you the provision. God gave you the peace. God gave you the word of truth. God gave you the courage and the faith and the boldness to take a stand and represent him well, because you are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So stand and give God a testimony. Allow God to give you a mouth and wisdom which will humiliate your oppressors instead of humiliate you. You see, the world thinks that Christianity is naive. It's too simplistic. But I love ministries like Ravi Zacharias, and I've got a friend whose daughter is actually part of that ministry, who are unashamed to say, you know what? Christianity makes sense. It is the most logical thing to believe out of all of the belief systems that humanity has to offer. Christianity is the one that has stood the test of time, that stands the test of goodness and holiness and a loving and compassionate God that all of the world talks about exists until they see atrocities. And then they want to know why God didn't stop it. All the time, they've been pushing God into a corner, but I won't get on that soapbox today. All of those points of wisdom that Jesus imparts in Luke chapter 21, verses 8 through 19, it culminates with this: by your patience, possess your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. By your patience, possess your soul. That patient endurance that said, I'm not going to panic. That patient endurance that said, God is the one who chose me for such a time as this, just the same as he chose Moses for his time, David for his time, Elijah for his. God has chosen you and he's chosen me. He divinely placed us exactly where he wanted us. If you had given me a map as a child or a teenager or even a person in college and asked me where I thought I would end up in ministry, Florida would never have entered on the map. It wasn't there. I had a pastor that made a joke one time, and he said, that if a large church in Florida called and asked him to come pastor, that he would tell his wife, honey, you pack while I pray. He would not have minded ended up in Florida, but instead God placed him and he ended up using him greatly before the turnover of Hong Kong back to China back in 1997. God saved his greatest years of ministry to make an impact on a nation before the door closed. I never would have dreamed I would have ended up in Florida, but that's exactly where God had me to be. So if you see all of, by the way, he didn't say what he would do if a small church had called, a small church in Florida had called. Possess your souls. What happens many times with people is we allow our circumstances. Okay. It talks about, people lying to us. We allow our emotions, our mind and our will and our emotions to be dictated to whenever somebody else has broken our trust and they've deceived us and lied to us. And Jesus says, when people lie to you, you possess your souls. You possess your mind and your will and emotions. No one is going to make you get angry. No one is going to be able to force you to lose it. That is something that happens whenever our patience is not exerted the way that God wants us to. So I want to ask you today, are you ready to patiently endure in your mind, in your will, and emotions, even when persecution arises or even when adversity arises, when you're having to give an account? I don't know if you've seen the movie God's Not Dead, where a student has to give an account and his entire grade is determined on how well he represents God before a classroom and an atheist professor. But I do know this. You may not have to do that on a grand scale, but every day that you go to work, every day that you walk your neighborhood or in the grocery store, your testimony, your confession of Jesus Christ is being observed and evaluated by those in that community. And so I encourage you to patiently possess your souls. Do not allow fear to run your life. Faith is supposed to be what motivates us. There is no hall of fame for fear. There is a hall of fame for faith, and it's in Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm sorry, but you're going to have to wait to get to heaven before you read the unabridged version. Hebrews chapter 11 is the abridged version. It is the shortened version because it says there that the author does not have time to talk about all of the details of all of these other people who had done great things by faith. Let me see if I can find that for you. And what more should I say? Hebrews 11:32, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and prophets and those in Brevard County and those in Florida and those in the United States who, you see, people are still making their mark on eternity because of faith, not because of fear. I had a conversation with someone and they told me that there are days that fear grips them so much that they can't even go out of the house. So I want to encourage you today, by patience, by trusting the goodness of God and the provision of God, possess your souls. That word possess means to set, to acquire, to possess, to take thoughts captive and govern them. Let them to make sure that you are governing those thoughts, that you take every thought and make it captivity. Bring it into captivity, into the subjection of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Don't let your mind just be a place where of the devil's playground. Possess your souls. As you stand to give an account of those who ask of you concerning your faith, you can stand there and say, I am going to patiently bring my entire being under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and I'm getting ready to ace this test because God is going to give me a testimony. You know, the only way that you can know if you have achieved that place where patience is a governing aspect in your life, not just a mindset that happens from time to time, is if you find yourself in a situation where natural patience will not suffice, you're going to need the fruit of the Spirit, which is long suffering. So set your heart today. Patiently possess your souls. Go ahead and say, God, I am here. It may have taken me longer to recover than what I wanted. It may have taken longer for that loved one to get saved than what I was hoping for. The promotion may not have come yet, but God, I believe it's coming. Lord, we may not have the workers yet that we are counting on, that you said to pray and ask, but God, I know this, that it's coming. Daniel set himself to pray, and 21 days later, an angel showed up. And he said, I started my journey the day that you prayed, but I've been opposed every step of the way. But I had an ally that came to my side, and here I am to bring you the answer. I know this, that if you have, what did someone recently say? If it is your desire to do the desire of God, God's going to make sure that you have the resources that you need. Do not get impatient, but patiently possess your souls. If you and I will embrace that mindset and we'll say, God, I don't want to blame my shortcomings on my genetic makeup. I don't want to cast all of the care upon my genealogy, God. Lord, I know this. I'm a child of the King, and therefore I have spiritual DNA as well as physical DNA, and I want the spiritual DNA to come shining forth. And so, God, would you equip me physically, so that even during difficult and challenging times when people are throwing up their hands and quitting and walking away and don't want to have anything to do with you, God, that I will be able to stand and give an account of the one that I have committed my now and my forever to. I want to patiently possess my soul. And I will tell you this, when you do that, it's going to affect the way that you speak. It's going to affect the way that you speak. And so I encourage you, don't let the bitterness and the pain of your negative circumstances ruin a perfectly good future that God wants to use you to bring about a grand and glorious testimony. Father, right now, I pray that the Holy Spirit would work in us in such a powerful way, God, that we would be able to patiently possess our own souls. Lord, we're not here to blame others. We're here, Lord, to represent you well. And I pray, God, that even during hard times and difficult times, we would represent you well and come out with a glowing testimony. We'll see you next week right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
To be a man for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul.